Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Shapiro.
Delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Shapiro, as an internal medicine physician, your specialty is studying infectious diseases, and you're currently working on a book on zoonoses. What are zoonoses? I'm sure that that's a term that not very many of us are familiar with.
Yes. Zoonoses, or zoonotic infections, are infections normally of animals other than humans that can subsequently be transmitted to and infect people.
How did you first become interested in zoonoses?
I found it really very interesting that there are a variety of infections, some of them major in terms of history, ranging from plague to others, that are not normally human infections. The trivia is also a lot of fun. Of about 1,500 infectious diseases have been documented to infect humans, roughly half of them originated in animals.
So what types of infections can people acquire from animals?
They can include bacterial infections, such as plague, viral infections, such as rabies or Ebola virus, as well as parasitic infections and fungal infections. So someone who is exposed to, for example, a dog or cat that has a skin infection due to a mold can pick that up from the animal as well.
Well, you mentioned the Ebola virus, and certainly that's been in the news for quite some time. Was that virus started in animals and then transmitted to humans?
It appears that the virus originated in bats. There are well over 1,000 species of bats in the world, and that is only second to the number of rodents. And we really don't know nearly as much about the breadth of viruses that are present in bats. Ebola virus was suspected to be transmitted from another animal to humans because it's clearly not found in humans except during the course of outbreaks. But really, bats have been found to be the reservoir of this infection.
So what are the most common infections, say, in the United States that are usually from animals?
Right. The most common infection that people acquire in the United States from animals is a fungal infection. So just as humans can get athlete's foot or other infections, those fungal agents can also originate from animals. So people who are at risk of getting these infections include anyone who has a pet dog or cat, certainly veterinarians and veterinary techs who work closely with these animals.
You had mentioned that some of these animal-borne diseases can be spread from person to person as well. So which of these diseases should we be most concerned about?
What's most important are those infections that once they enter the human population can then be spread very efficiently from person to person. So if we look at some of these, they include HIV, and there are two different types of HIV that infect people, HIV-1, which is the more common of the two, and that virus originated in chimpanzees, and HIV-2 originated in another primate, the Sudimangabe. And of course, they are now a tremendous public health problem globally with over 30 million people infected. However, in the long run, the major worry would be influenza A virus or the flu. Essentially, all types of influenza originate in birds. And people have, I'm sure, heard of the avian flu. And again, it may merely be the occasional contact, or it may be that it becomes efficiently spread from person to person, causing something global.
And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines from KUNR Reno Public Radio. I'm Rochelle O'Driscoll, and today we are talking about infectious diseases that are transmitted through animals. Dr. Shapiro, just yesterday it was reported that 6 million birds or hens in Iowa have the influenza virus. Can this ultimately jump to humans?
The potential for these viruses to be transmitted to humans is very real. of more concern is one of the influenza viruses that has in parts of Asia been transmitted to people and has a mortality rate of 70% or higher. The good news, if there is good news, is this has not been efficiently spread from person to person, because then we'd have the potential of a global infection or pandemic. The influenza viruses that are found thus far in Iowa, those have not spread to humans. And if they do, we really don't know whether they will cause severe illness or whether they can be then subsequently transmitted from person to person with efficiency.
So what types of diseases do we see here locally?
Other than the more common ones, as I mentioned, there are a couple of infections that are of concern. Within the wildlife population, both here in Washoe County and throughout much of California, is plague. And this is the same plague that caused the Black Death in the 14th century. And it's found not merely in rats, but in any number of small mammals. There have been cases in Washoe County, including human cases in the 1980s. There was a fatal case in South Lake Tahoe that was reported in the 1970s in which a woman had a cat. The cat had acquired it, and the cat was ill, transmitted it to the woman, and both the cat and the woman died. So that's one disease worth recognizing. Another one that's found here is called tularemia, and that's named for Tulare County, California. And it's a plague-like illness, but it is less lethal than plague. And that, again, is found in rabbits and similar small animals, and that can be transmitted via ticks as opposed to fleas. Unlike plague, there really is no subsequent person-to-person spread.
So are there any particular animals that we should stay away from?
In general, stay away from wild animals. They have their own set of infectious diseases, and some of these can really be life-threatening in humans.
Can humans transmit diseases to their pets?
Oh, absolutely. If you think about it, humans are not the dominant form of life on Earth. It's all of these pathogens collectively. So humans have transmitted everything from tuberculosis to elephants and monkeys, measles to monkeys, other infections to dogs. There was one particular case where a woman who had a particular bacterial infection and was nursing gave some of the milk not just to her infant, but also to her newborn puppies, and they died of the same infection. So there are all sorts of unusual routes where this can occur, or usual routes, such as children capturing animals for the pet trade in parts of the world where measles still exists. So, yeah, very clearly.
Finally, what advice do you have with regard to dealing with pets and wild animals to avoid contracting an infectious disease?
In order to prevent these infections, one of the important things is to ensure that your pets, dogs, cats, as well as farm animals, are regularly seen by a veterinarian. That being said, there are bacteria present in, for example, dogs or cats normally that if a person is bitten or scratched, may cause severe illness. So seek medical attention if this occurs. In addition, with respect to wild animals, you really want to minimize your contact. If you hunt, please use gloves to prevent exposure to the animal's blood. Do not take in a wild animal as a pet. That is fraught with all sorts of problems. The very slow-moving bunny rabbit that you are able to catch may be slow-moving because it is ill. And finally, if your home has evidence of rodent infestation, please have that dealt with professionally.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Shapiro, and sharing your expertise and knowledge about infectious diseases that are transmitted through animals.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to do so.